You won't find a better deal on science-backed pregnancy supplements than at Ritual's Black Friday sale. Get what you really deserve, like a prenatal you can trust. Made with bioavailable key nutrients, it even earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. Save 40% on your first month at ritual.com/pregnancy support. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Getting her. I mean, that wasn't like a tough decision getting her.
Right.
I definitely, you know, really thought about it beforehand, but I did not think about what it was actually going to be like, apparently. Because when I got her, I was like, holy shit, this is completely different.
Yeah. They're big responsibilities, but nothing drives me crazier than the people that are like, oh yeah, having my dog is just like having a baby, but they don't have kids.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, fuck you.
No, it's not like that. It's not entirely like that. It is like having a baby in the sense of having, you have a baby animal.
Yeah, you have a responsibility, but like,
it's not like,
but you gotta go like get a babysitter if you want to go out for the night.
And, yeah, bro, but if like, if the fucking dog dies,
oh, dude, that
then
hurts.
It's, I mean, if the puppy dies, this is what I'm, the point I'm making. If the puppy dies, you know, there isn't going to be an investigation on right. whether or not you did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's the difference between a human child and a dog child, is, the, yeah. is like the level of legality and responsibility that goes with it.
Yeah.
It is, you are raising a baby animal yeah. in both senses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in both cases, you're raising a baby animal. And that is, you know, you are dealing with a baby.
Yeah.
It was,
in that
you know,
sense.
Yeah, it was very difficult to do, raising mm-hmm. her, definitely like, I was alone. I just lived by myself, and it was during COVID. It was like 2021. I got her in like January of 21. Oh, that sucks. I hate that that has to.
Oh, putting it down.
Yeah, it's fine. We'll figure that out eventually. We'll probably get like side tables or something.
I'll go softer.
Yeah, that'd be probably be best. We'll figure it out. We did start, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah. Got a couple seconds in there. Everybody, this is Zay. He is
Howdy.
Going to be our guest for the day. We're going to talk about a couple of things overall. I guess I should start the same way I always do. Is hello, everybody. Welcome back to Malfunction Junction. This is Andrew. Joining me today is Zay.
That's
there
me.
There we go. So what we were just talking about with the dog,
mm-hmm.
I guess I'll start with... some personal things with you. I'll just, yeah. I guess the only way that I had thought about this thing overall was like, I'll just ask him some questions and it'll be leading questions. Let him tell the story.
Yep.
So say whatever you want. I can cut anything you need me to cut. And, yeah. But tell me a little bit about yourself, where you're from.
So
what do you do for work?
Born and raised Denver, Colorado.
Hell yeah.
One of the few natives you see around this place. Yeah. Been here all 25 years of life, and then I guess you asked what I do for work, but I do telecom engineering. So basically
right.
I make blueprints of new and existing fiber lines for phone, internet, television. Sounds a lot cooler than it is. Fucking hate sitting behind a desk, but
yeah,
found this place after I got my first DUI, and it paid off in the end because, you know, I don't do bad for myself, but I do look at it as an additional punishment for getting a DUI.
Yeah.
Because I hate sitting behind a desk, bro.
Yeah, it's not
it's
the
like,
best.
So, it's not physically exhausting, but it's mentally exhausting.
I understand. I worked at a sales job for a little while before COVID, and I was like, it was soul-sucking.
Yeah.
It's soul-sucking.
Yeah, it's...
Calling somebody and selling them something they don't need.
Yeah. Well, see, my job is so independent that, like, I don't even need to talk to anybody. I'll go, like, full weeks at a time without even saying anything.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's cool because my bosses don't really mess with me.
That's
and,
good.
You know, my coworkers, everybody just kind of sticks to themselves, but it's very weird. They're like, I'm on a floor with, I don't know, 200 people.
Oh, jeez.
Nobody's making a sound.
That's insane.
Yeah. And it's just quiet. And
that's insane to me, especially with the experience I had with, because there would be like, dude, you'd be like, you had to have, there was a specific line they gave you for when in the background people would be cheering when they made a sale. And like, there was a gong they would hit.
Oh.
Dude, you would hit a fucking gong when you made a sale.
Yeah.
And it would be like, it'd be like, dude, someone would just smack the shit out of it, be like, yeah. And you'd be like, yo, dude, we are all on a call. Everyone else except for you is on a call.
Yeah.
And it's just like, dude. So there, you know, you'd have to be like, yeah. And someone would be like, what was that? And you'd be like, yeah, it was, I forget the line. It's like, oh, we like to celebrate here. Our successes at the office. So it was someone celebrating their, you know, that. And it's just like, dude, it's like,
yep. Not for me, dude. It's even annoying when people will, like, eat their lunch at their desk because you can hear them chewing.
Oh, jeez.
And it's so ridiculous.
That's how quiet it is?
Oh, my gosh, yes. And then every once in a while, you'll hear a manager or whatever come up to somebody's desk and they're chopping it up. And that's always risky because everybody can hear you. And working in corporate America, good point. Dude.
Yeah. You got to talk about sports and... No private conversations.
Oh, bro, you know me. You know my personality.
Yeah, you probably get in trouble a lot with HR sometimes.
No, I never have. But that's because I've been at my job 5 years and I've trained myself to be PC, and I feel like I do make the jokes that I do and like have the personality I have because for 40 hours a week, I'm like this fucking white collar angel, you know, using all the right PC terms and whatever.
Yeah.
Dude, it's the worst. It's like...
Yeah. I can imagine.
That, and when I was working construction and...
Construction's that's like the exact opposite from that.
Yeah, and that's what I came from. Like, that was the job I did right before that. So you can imagine the culture shock.
Yeah.
And for me, it was just so weird because... First of all, being PC and, like, being nice to everybody, dude, that sucks. Because in construction, you know how many times I've been asked if I sit when I piss or do I fuck like that? And it's just like, holy shit. But, like...
If you ask someone that in corporate America, you'd be fired immediately.
Instantly.
Oh, you fuck like that? Even if it was to a guy, like, it'd be like...
Even if somebody just overheard you.
Yeah.
And... You know,
he said, "Do you fuck like that?" And it really made me feel uncomfortable. Yeah. Dude.
It's ridiculous.
Shut up.
It was so efficient.
I get that.
It's like when somebody tells you you're fucking up, get your shit together, or get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of makes you want to put some pep in your step and like actually attempt to do better. Whereas at my job, I'm like sending emails. Hey, so I really do think that we could probably create something that would benefit the customer more within budget or whatever, instead of, you stupid fuck, how did you manage to make a 500-foot job cost $25,000?
Yeah.
Like, fix this shit, get it together, and then come to me. Can't do that. So,
no.
Like, instead, I'm sending, like, whenever I'm quality checking some work, I'm like sending a bunch of revisions back like, dude, this is not great. This is terrible.
Yeah.
And in the most polite PC term imaginable. So, yeah.
Yeah, which that the most polite PC term imaginable means you have to explain every aspect of what you're saying. And so it's like,
dude, and it, like
in the section
turn a 2-sentence conversation. You would turn a 2-sentence conversation into an email chain that lasts 2-3 days.
Yeah. That's the worst.
Yeah.
And then nothing gets done.
Yeah, so if there's anything to learn from this, don't get a DUI because you have to get an office job and that shit sucks.
Yeah. That's that's a good life lesson. Don't get a DUI. There are many reasons you don't want to get a DUI. Can I snag that from me? There are many reasons you don't want to get a DUI, but like,
yeah, no.
That's one of them.
That, trust me, I got 2 DUIs. I can go down the list, but that, like...
See, I wouldn't call him a buddy, because he's not, but I grew up with this kid, and See, this kid, I don't know what he's doing for work. Probably construction, but whatever. I mean, good, it's probably good money enough. I mean, I don't know that he lives in California, so it may not.
Yeah.
But he got two DUIs, and he also has, like, three kids with two different baby mamas already.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, oh, dude, you have no money, I bet. Oh, yeah. All of your money goes to other people.
And you live in California, dude.
And you live in, literally, all of your money goes to other people. For the state to fuck it up, for the girls to spend it on the kids, mm-hmm. and for the state to fuck it up again.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That'd be enough for me to fucking drink.
I would imagine. I mean, he's been to prison a couple times for other reasons. I think he had, I mean, I definitely won't say this kid's name. Mm-hmm. You would know him anyway, but anyone that's listening from my hometown, though, I'm talking about, that he got a armed robbery charge when he was, like, I think 19. Ooh. And spent 2 years in Folsom Prison.
Wow.
And, yeah.
That's brutal.
That sucks, dude.
Yeah.
Like, that's a, like, bad decision.
Yeah, that's like my grandpa. My grandpa, you'd never guess it because of how he is today. But, you know, my grandpa got sober at 25. He was a great father, great grandfather, and, like, he's just such a great dude now. Like, he does right. everything. He's so helpful and whatever. I mean, he's a little shit. He's an old man that just,
sure,
like,
yeah.
stuck in his ways. But, like, that was my father model growing up.
Right.
But when he was 18, he got an armed robbery charge.
Oh, jeez.
Affected his life to this day.
I would imagine.
I mean,
I bet he can't get easy jobs. No. Can't, I mean, you know, yeah.
I mean, he's retired now, but, like, he got lucky getting into the phone company, being a technician.
Boy. Good for him.
And
but even then, that's still like that's a tough job.
Yeah, I mean, he loved it.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's also one that if you're the right type of person and you love, just like, I just want to work with my hands all day, dude. And that's you know, I feel like that's one of those
for sure.
A phone technician, is he the one that goes up the towers?
Yeah, but back then they like threw on spikes,
mm-hmm.
and like they would climb up the pole that way.
Yeah, I've seen videos, at least. I wasn't.
No, he used to get down, and
that's awesome.
Yeah, that was here in Colorado. Yeah. So like he's going out there. During the winter.
Yeah, dude.
Middle of the night.
Dude, I mean, the reason they built the way that they built them the way they do now with the fucking things out is because I believe too many people died. I would imagine.
Oh yeah, dude, that shit's fucking dangerous.
I mean,
you're falling from 30 feet up in the air. And you got all your equipment on you and shit.
One thing that people don't, what I found, I used to do this tour guide job, driving people up Pikes Peak.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking awesome. It's
yeah, that great job. Amazing.
It's a great job. I enjoyed it. I just did it for summer. I would have done it again this summer if I had, wasn't making the movie. But I had to explain this to a couple people that were from out like east, out like on the East Coast area. Some of them from, you know, various places on the East Coast. And, you know, they'd be like, I would explain, like, yeah, anywhere you see a rail is where somebody has already fallen off.
Oh, shit.
And that was what I was told, at least. I don't know how true that is, but that was what I was told. And then what it made sense to me was that's what it takes in the West for there to be safety measures put up, is if mm-hmm. someone dies.
Yeah,
it's like, oh shit, well, okay, maybe we should fix that. Like, it's like, there's not like, it isn't like I mean,
I just wonder how much of it is human stupidity.
Oh, it's mostly human stupidity.
Well, I mean, that's why you can't enjoy shit at the zoo, you know? You got these
or
fucking
people just trying to make a dollar off someone.
Yeah,
there are a lot of those people.
Yeah, and like, you're at the zoo, you got this fucking 12 foot thick glass filled with some kid's boogers and shit, and it's just like, where's the fucking gorilla? And too many safety precautions. I think we need to bring back natural selection.
Well, I mean, you see those videos of like, you see those videos, the videos of like the gorilla running at the glass.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me. The kid's sitting there taunting it. And it's like, you know, it's like, of course the gorilla ran at the fucking glass and tried to get out of there. And it probably hates its fucking life.
Yeah.
That's why I don't really go to zoos. I like going, I'll go to like there are a couple of the zoos out there that do like the open air zoos that are.
There's a reservation a little ways east from here.
Okay.
looks really cool. They got like tigers and shit.
No shit.
Yeah.
It's like a Native American reservation type thing, or is it like
it's like the ones in Africa.
That is not the question I asked. Of course the tigers are from Africa.
No. Tigers aren't from Africa, are they?
Yes.
No.
There are tigers from Africa and there are tigers from Asia.
Whatever. But no, where it's do you like think tigers are in from? This
I need to know.
I always thought tigers were more like Indian and Indonesian and shit.
That's definitely true too. Yeah. I don't know about Indonesian. I don't know about that person.
I don't know much.
I know Indonesia is like the big islands like above Australia.
Mm. Well, you know where, like, in the Sahara.
At least I think. I'm also bad at
big open spaces that, you know, it's guarded for poachers and shit, you know, like that.
Yeah.
That's what is out there.
Okay.
I don't know exactly where it's at.
Dude, if someone fucking jumped a fence and went and killed a tiger as a poacher, that's out. I mean, look, it's one thing to fucking go hunt it illegally in the wild.
Yeah.
That's one thing. At least you're risking your life for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing good about any part of that at all.
Right.
I want to preface that.
Yeah.
But at least you're like actually doing something and not just fucking like, oh, look, a tiger in a fence.
Yeah.
I'm going to go fucking kill it. Like, it's just like, dude, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
What is wrong? I saw a beautiful thing. I wanted to fucking crush it. It's like, oh my God. You need to be locked up.
Yeah, no.
That's
what
I mean. That would be the fucking consensus of that. I mean, it'd be like, let's give him 25 and see if he gets life. You know, like fucking let's see if he fucks himself. You know?
Very likely.
And it's pretty likely he will.
Yeah. Well, I mean, dude, and you see, because we live in Colorado, so you see fucking people taking videos, getting all up close to the moose or the elk and shit, and it's like,
yo,
what are
dude.
You doing?
Yeah, I mean, I was just up in Yellowstone,
yeah,
like two months ago now. Damn, that's already 2 months ago. No, it was only 1 month ago. 1 month ago,
mm-hmm.
And there were people like, I mean, dude, number one, don't go to Yellowstone the last week of tourism week.
Ooh.
Or like I think we went like 2 weeks before the last week. It was just absolutely ridden with people everywhere. People everywhere. Oh, yeah. People everywhere. And it was like we still got to see some cool shit. Obviously, it's fucking amazing up there. Go to Yellowstone any other time other than the last 2 weeks of that. The first 2 weeks of tourism season and the last 2 weeks of tourism season.
Plus, tourists can be so ignorant sometimes.
Well, that's what the point is.
Yeah.
It's like tourists are, they have no regard for the actual space they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, and it's not all. And they're definitely like, I don't know. There are a lot of tourists that are, and I've been a tourist that was probably could be looked at as an asshole.
Yeah.
I mean, I can be looked at as an asshole most times, but it's different when you have no space of awareness of what's around you.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you're sitting there taking a picture and there's a person in a wheelchair, like, that going by, and the person just is like still taking a picture, and it's like, hey man, move.
Yeah.
There's a person in a wheelchair that's why this ramp is here, by the way.
Yeah.
You're standing on, you know, it's just like, dude, fuck dude, you, man.
That is literally, that's one of the reasons I don't even like going grocery shopping. Like, I will order my shit.
Mm.
Dude, I cannot go to grocery stores.
Yeah.
Just like, everybody is everywhere, and nobody knows where they want to be.
Yeah, that's why I don't go to grocery stores for myself, because I have no idea where anything is.
Yeah, and like, you'll be walking behind somebody, they're going slower than fuck, and then there's not really room for you to go past them in the aisle,
yep.
But you fucking are still walking behind them, and then they just come to an abrupt stop. It's like, oh, you must.
Yeah, and you're looking, and you're like, oh, Jesus, and it's like, yep.
Yeah.
Nobody has
spatial awareness.
I go to grocery stores, but only because I need to eat, and I don't have the money to eat out all the time.
Yeah.
If I did, I'd just have other people make me food.
No,
I do like cooking. I'm actually pretty good at it, but yeah. I just like, I hate doing dishes.
I hate doing dishes, dude.
It's a tough one. Thankfully, Madge is pretty good at cooking.
Yeah. Shout out Madge.
And Madeline's awesome. And shout out Madge. And, thankfully she's good at cooking. And, thankfully also, you know, I'm not like opposed to cooking. I'll cook, right. I'll cook whenever. And yeah. just, and I'm the type of person where it's like, if you give me the recipe and you give me the, or if I have the recipe or if I know what I'm making,
mm-hmm.
just give me the fucking ingredients. I can make it.
Yeah.
I hate going to the store and looking for ingredients.
Yeah.
It is just something that is soul-sucking to me to go to the fucking grocery store and, I mean, and pick out fucking, you know, the nicest onion.
Yeah.
And it's just like, bro, I'll kill myself right now. Yeah. I like always get that. Every time I go to the store, I feel that Bill Burr joke where I think about killing myself out of inconvenience. I think that was the joke. It's just like when I feel inconvenienced, I'm just like, I could just like hang myself from the ceiling. Like,
it's just, dude, I love me some Bill Burr.
Yeah. He's hilarious. Fun. Yeah. So early on in your life, who or what influenced you the most? You kind of said a little bit about your grandpa. Yeah. I believe, yeah.
100% my grandpa. So I guess a quick backstory. Didn't know my dad.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was kind of in and out mm-hmm. until I was about 16.
Yeah.
And I got fortunate that my grandparents were, they took me in. And so basically I looked at them as my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandpa, he was just such a good role model. I mean, put me in all the sports that I could be in.
That's awesome.
Really cared about my education. Showed me a lot of the things that, you know, only a father can fucking show you. And,
right.
Really showed me how to be a man. And as confident in myself as I am in being a man,
mm-hmm.
I'm still only a fraction of what he is. And
I mean, literally an age. You're like about a third, I would imagine, at least.
But he's a really good dude, man. And, you know, I think I really came to the realization when I was sitting in jail with my second DUI.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandpa used to always reiterate to me, like, how bad drinking was for you. And, you know, I would always brush it off like, yeah, dude, like, you had your problems with it. That's why you're just projecting them on me. And
that's a tough one.
Yeah, and then I'm just like, I'm watching everything he's saying that will happen transpire in real time.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, everything he said ended up coming true. I just stopped while I was ahead because he would talk shit to me about drinking. And I'm like, well, I haven't gotten in trouble. Like, I'm not out. I haven't lost my house or my job or anything. Right. He was like, yet.
Yeah.
And then slowly but surely, all that shit started happening. And fortunately, I was able to bounce back. And, you know, I live pretty comfortable and beyond my means, which I need to get better on, but, dude, he's a really good dude, and, I look up to him, and, you know, he's really smart. He, like I said, he made some mistakes when he was young.
I think we all do.
Yeah, and, I think what touched me the most, my mom's an only child.
Okay.
And, they lost their son, who is my mom's older brother, at 3 months old, to SIDS.
Oh, shit. That sucks.
Sudden infant death.
Yeah, that sucks.
And, they were 17 and 18 years old, just kids, when they were dealing with that. And
oh, my God.
So when my grandparents were living in Florida, and my mom had a plan in her head that she was just going to drop me off there and just kind of, mm-hmm. like, vanish. And so my grandpa ended up telling me that when my mom abandoned me with them, that it was like God giving him the son that he never got to raise.
That's,
you know, he told me that when I was rather young, but it was something that I held on to, like, to this day, and, like,
yeah,
means the world to me.
And, well, yeah, and I can, yeah, just personally, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
Just having my, I mean, you know, a little bit about my situation. Yeah. I adopted, we gave up a kid for adoption, but.
Right.
Yeah, that's a really powerful thing to hear.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And, you know, so.
How old were you when he told you that?
I was probably 15, 16 when he told me that originally.
Yeah, that's but, a tough, that's a weird age to hear, I mean, a tough age to hear that.
Especially since I was such a shithead at that point.
Well, man, I mean, yeah, I would imagine. You know, you got left there by your mom, you're being raised by your grandparents.
Yeah.
You don't know really anything about your, probably your family situation of what's going on with that. Yeah, you're probably, of course you were fucking angry and shitty and mean and whatever it was. You know, it was like, of course you were that way. You were fucking mad at the world. It 100% makes sense. I don't think people, and you're probably no different here, is there are a lot of people that don't give themselves enough credit for, like, you know, the shit they've been through.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you should be like, you should let it define you from the perspective of, how you feel about yourself, unless it's like a positive thing. If the things that happen to you make you feel horrible about yourself, and you're unable to turn it into something, you know, good and have power over what you've been through in your past, then it doesn't. You know, if it's bad, if it makes you feel bad, you got to try to make it feel good. And it's, and I think, you know, just knowing you over the past however many, I think like a year and a half or so.
Right.
You know, you don't, there are a lot of kids out there, and especially, you know, ones that have been through less than you have, that are just, even I, myself, you know, at that age was just so angry at the world, everything. And, you know, and then, you know, negative things start to happen to you. And, you just get angrier and angrier.
Yeah.
And it, what was it that eventually got you to kind of let go and, I guess, let God, for better, lack of a better term?
So I've always been pretty religious. I went to Catholic school growing up until I was in, like, third grade. And, you know, always found comfort in God.
Nice.
But I think my most powerful moment where it really solidified my faith. So I was like 16 and I was going through a bad breakup. I was like dealing with some other shit and, you know, it was really like at that point in time, it was the worst shit I had ever gone through. Mm-hmm. At least it felt like.
How old was this, man?
I was 16.
Yeah. Okay.
And, that was when I was like, man, fuck this shit. I was like, if God was real, he wouldn't let me go through this shit.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, he wouldn't let me feel this pain. And I called out to him. I was like, God, if you're real, give me a sign.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking all this in my head. And I'm scrolling through Facebook, and I come across a Bible verse.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, do not fear, do not be dismayed, for I am your God, and I will lead you with my righteous right hand.
Mm.
And that was pretty much everything that I needed to hear, because I was feeling so alone and just like he wasn't listening to me and just like just really down and out on myself. And I heard that Bible verse and I was like, oh, whatever. It's just a coincidence. Like, people post Bible verses all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I go and look at the what book it's in, what chapter and verse. Well, it's in Isaiah. And as you know, my name's Isaiah.
Right.
You know, I go by Zay. But, and then the verse, chapter and verse is 41:10. Well, my birthday is 4/11/00.
Nice.
So in that moment, because he literally gave me what I asked for in that moment. And I just felt chills go down my body. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just felt like this warm presence. Not like anything paranormal, just like almost like a weight fell off my shoulders, because it was like, wow, you are there and you are listening. And I've always been like a firm believer of everything happens for a reason.
Absolutely.
So from that moment, I never questioned my faith in God and like
nice
everything else. And so I was really able to lean on that and that, and knowing that there is a God and a higher power, and that my genuine belief in my God being a very powerful God. And so, like I said, I've always been a firm believer of everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. So getting that clarity and all of that really just like made me let go, just because I realized everything that happened leading up to even this point happened for a reason.
Right.
And so I was a lot more forgiving of my mom and,
right.
you know, just really being able to, like, turn the next page on life. And
that was at 16 still?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's mature to be able to go through that at that age, because that's a lot of kids at 16 are, they get that message and then they just go, eh. Or they get that message and they, you know,
yeah.
run away from it or whatever it is. And it, or they don't ask the question to God. They mm-hmm. just go, God must not be real then.
Right.
God wouldn't do that to me. So fuck him.
He'll, you know, it's just he'll like, show himself to you.
Yeah, he'll show himself to you. And it's like, I I've had a run in with it a couple times. Mm-hmm. And, I think of it kind of entirely differently than a lot of people do. But I think of it as the artist, mm-hmm. the creator of all, just like, I mean, that's what it is that's what it's always been, but I don't really define it any different than that ever. Mm-hmm. Cause I think it's foolish to define what their creator is. I think it's kind of futile, and I think it even says in there, you can't, in the Bible, that you can't really describe it. And my run-in with God, the real first time he showed himself to me, was when I got stabbed. Mm-hmm. And I had a kind of a light at the end of the tunnel experience.
Yeah.
And I just had like some sort of intense knowing of like, it was like hearing it in my head, but not like a voice, but not at all.
Yeah.
And it just said, you're not ready yet. Come back later.
Hmm.
And it was like, it basically was like a confirmation of like, oh shit, there is something else.
Yeah.
And like, and then I had to kind of recover from that thing. And then I did the whole ketamine experience, which that brought me a lot closer to where I'm at now with the idea of, you know, the artist is a, it would be foolish to define what it is. Is what right. To put a name on it. I just said, if it created all, it must be the artist, because this mm-hmm. is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's crazy. I mean, I don't understand how people can, you know. And it's not a knock on anybody, but just like looking at the world and the universe and how gorgeous it all really is, and how it all just ties in together. And it's just like, you think this shit was an accident? You think
I think the people, it's possible that people that live in cities really don't understand the natural world like mm-hmm. that. Because it's like, if you go out into the natural world, it is fucking unbelievable that it all works in like synchronicity with each other, and in the every place, everything in it has its own purpose.
Yeah.
And you know, it's I think that people, when they get trapped in cities, get away from that, definitely. But obviously, but it then removes them from like what it was only, it is then only what was created by man around them. Yeah. And, you know, the creations of man, while they can be beautiful, I mean, to not then...
It's nothing to God's work.
Yeah, it's nothing to God's work, and it's nothing to... It's nothing to what is, you know, out there, and you don't know exactly what it is. There's something to be said about going to a place and not knowing exactly what's going to happen. And I feel like if you... Or maybe not happen, but, like, what's going to be there. Because, like, if you turn a city in... I mean, turn the corner in a city, it's like there's going to be people. Mm-hmm. There's going to be people, a car, train, whatever it is. But if you go out in the wilderness and you turn a corner, there could be fucking anything there.
Yeah.
You could see an elk. You could see a bear. Mm-hmm. You could fucking see a huge fucking cat. You can see a cougar out there, dude. Those things exist. Like, those things are fucking... There was that whole story a couple years ago of the Broncos player killing. Did you ever see the picture of that cat? It was enormous, dude. Like,
Derek Wolfe's a huge guy.
Yeah. Well, if you turned a corner out hiking and saw that fucking thing, it's like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's like, even if you have a large, like you have to have a pretty high caliber firearm right on you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, with that size cat, like, I've seen the videos of like and also you have to fucking film yourself doing it, because if you just kill it, you could get in trouble for it.
If I'm not mistaken, don't hold me to this, but I think I remember hearing something about Derek Wolfe killing that cat with a fucking
bow and arrow. Yeah.
That is so crazy.
That's ridiculous.
Dude. He's like one of my all-time favorite Broncos.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's, especially after that story, it's just like, oh, you're a legend. You're a fucking legend.
Oh, dude, and like, the fact that he still lives in Colorado.
Yeah.
It's just so dope. Mm-hmm. His house is actually up for, like, you can get an Airbnb there.
Okay. Like,
it's pretty dope.
He doesn't live there type thing?
I mean, he's made a fortune.
Probably has a couple other places.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, dude, I mean.
It's so funny. The
world is such a beautiful and crazy place. It can be.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, us city folk are just.
I mean.
I feel like we don't even know what life is anymore.
Yeah, I mean, Denver is a different place than, like, a major city. I mean, it is a major city, but it's a western city, so mm-hmm. it's like I mean you can get to the mountains in 15 minutes.
Yeah,
like that's not really I have one of my favorite camping spots is 45 minutes from here. Mm. And I can go out there and it's a completely different fucking world.
Yeah,
that's not normal in like a city. Mm-hmm. You know, I've lived in San Francisco.
Dude,
and
I
it's
even
like
Colorado Springs more than Denver.
Yeah,
it's smaller.
I like Colorado Springs a lot. Yeah. Actually,
I feel like the energy just feels better there.
Yeah, it's a weird place, but yeah, I always think about leaving Denver. Like, and I just signed a lease here for another like at least a year. Mm-hmm. And I like this place that I'm in, but it's also nice. I like it. Thank you. And but at the same time, I'm like, man, I want to go up to like Idaho Springs or Georgetown or something.
Not Idaho Springs. Idaho Springs is a dirty mining town.
I don't give a fuck. I'm from a dirty mining town in California.
Yeah, but dude, like gas right here is what, $3, right? Like, we'll call it $3.
Sure.
Over there, it's gonna be $3.50, $3.60 for no reason.
I grew up in California. It's $4.50 when I got my driver's license. Gas was $4.50.
Ew.
Yeah, man.
Dude.
And right now, I think it's like over $5.
Oh, yeah, dude. I went to L.A. in 2022. First of all, I have a theory that the devil lives in L.A. But
devil lives in L.A. and also in Austin, Texas.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
But when I went out there in 2022, gas was like $8.
Yeah, yeah.
That is criminal, dude. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw that too. I was there in that time, yeah.
Oh, I couldn't believe it.
Not living there, but.
And, like, I went to Vegas shortly before that. Mm. Gas was $5 there. But it evened out because rent was cheaper.
Right.
Like, here, a two-bedroom, on average, will cost you about $1,800.
Right.
Maybe $1,900. over there, an 18 or a two bedroom apartment.
Although rent has gone down significantly 15, lately.
1400. Like, yeah. Really doable.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, your gas is expensive, but your rent's
cheaper. California?
No. This was in Vegas.
Oh, okay.
California, dude, I don't know how people can afford it out
it's,
there.
Most people can't.
If I went out there with my current salary, which isn't terrible by any means.
You'd be the bottom line.
Bro, I'd be fucking living in Slauson.
Like, well, yeah, that's what I always tell people is that, like, people always expect they're going to go out and get and, like, live in L.A., but they're going to end up living in, like, Bakersfield or Lodi or something, and it's just, like, nobody wants to live in those places.
First of all, I wouldn't even want to live in L.A.
No, like, but, I mean, like, that's, like, everybody that's ever told me, like, oh, yeah, I'm thinking about going and living out in California. Have you been there? No. Okay, where are you going to go live? L.A. All right, well, that's you lost me already.
L.A. is so fucking huge. Yeah, man. It's like, crazy.
And it's like, it's one thing if you're like, oh, it's like, I got a friend out there. He's going to, it's that's different. I feel like it's like, okay, I feel like you may be able to make this work. But like, some people at least. Can I snag that again for me?
Yeah.
Every person that's ever told me, I'm thinking about moving out to LA, like that I met, aside from people in my hometown in NorCal, like, they have all been, I've all told them, like, you're going to end up living in fucking Bakersfield. Because it's just like, or you're going to have to come back because it's fucking ridiculous out there.
Yeah. No, dude. And like, from the moment that I landed in LAX, I just felt this dark, negative energy. And I'm not really a big energy guy. Like, sure. I'm not out fucking collecting rocks or anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, dude, I fucking, it's like bright and sunny, it's 3 o'clock on a Friday, and it just feels so dark and disgusting, and I just hated every second of it.
Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah.
How long did you spend there?
I was just there for the weekend.
Yeah.
I went to Santa Monica.
Okay. San Diego's a lot better.
Yeah, I'd love San Diego.
San Diego is actually fucking one of my favorite places in the whole state.
Really?
Yeah, my parents used to live there after they sold the house in my hometown, and when I went and visited them, it was just always like, oh, I see the appeal of this place, like, and I also would fit right in all the time.
Yeah,
and it would just be like, I don't know.
Yeah, I've never been to San Diego.
San Diego's sick.
Yeah, San Francisco's sucks. It sounds cool, but like such a dope place, but it's expensive as fuck to live out there.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't believe the prices I was seeing for...
Dude, when I was living in San Francisco, and the only reason I was able to afford to do this was because junior college that I was going to was free. Mm. I was paying $1,800 a month for a bedroom, shared bathroom. Thankfully, no one else ever moved in. I didn't have to share the bathroom ever.
Yeah.
But it was a shared bathroom and a access to the kitchen, and that's it. There was a living room in the house that was locked, and they said, we'll open it for another $100. I was like, bro. They were Chinese folk, and they were not very nice.
Yeah.
They did not like me.
Yeah.
They didn't like my roommate either. The housemate either. It was not like...
So you're paying all that money just for a tense home or tense room?
Well, the thing is that it was 6 blocks from the beach. Mm. So that was pretty sick. But it's San Francisco. It's like, yeah. I mean, I surf a little bit, but not like that. Right. It's like not in fucking... I went out there once in the bay, and I guess it was really the ocean because the bay is on the other side of it. I was on the ocean beach side.
Yeah.
And it's fucking so cold, dude. It's like the water's like 45 degrees.
Yeah.
And it's like outside it's 65 all the time, which I like that a lot. It's like 65 and foggy most of the time. Mm-hmm. I love that weather. But the amount of fucking like just bullshit in that city.
Yeah, dude.
Literal human shit, too.
Yeah, that's sometimes what I heard. And I heard that there's an app.
There is, I believe.
That tells you where somebody's shit.
And that's a good thing to have that. If you're going to have human shit on the sidewalk, at least you know where it is.
Right. You know where to avoid. Yeah. And also, I think I saw a post of like a street sign in San Francisco saying to like leave your windows cracked so that the thieves don't fucking break your window.
Well, you're supposed to leave the door unlocked and nothing in there. Well, you leave the door unlocked and nothing in there.
It's just...
it's insane.
Yeah.
It's lawlessness.
Like, are we just going to conform to this bullshit?
Well, it's like when I lived there, which was like 2017 and 18, it was, you know, there was some like... I mean, it definitely is a place where it's like, oh, this is a free-for-all. But it's also like... it's also like... it wasn't that... I mean, I don't think it got that bad when I was living there. I think it's that's a recent thing. Hmm. And, yeah, it's a gross place now, I hear. But, I mean, it's a beautiful place. It is so fucking beautiful.
Yeah, dude, we're just... humans are just parasites.
In a way. I mean,
we can contribute so much good to the world. But, gosh, dude, the negative always seems to outshine the positive. Unfortunately,
I mean, I feel like I feel like we just hear about only the negative.
No, for sure. Well, that's because it's more interesting. Like, what's more interesting, hearing about the fucking liquor store where the dude got stabbed in the neck 15 times, or hey, local firefighters came and helped this grandma out when she didn't have any groceries?
Right. Yeah, I get your point.
Which one's gonna get the clicks and views?
Yeah. There's all, I mean, they always have like, they say like the local news will always have like the feel good story at the end.
Yeah.
They'll bombard you with like, and today there was 60 people killed in a, you know, just like, dude. And then you're like, but this dog was recently adopted from, and it had been there for a long time.
No legs, half an eye.
It had been there for a long time, and someone got it today. This is so-and-so, the adopter. It's just like some fat bitch, and she's just like, I love this dog. And they're just like, you're going to eat that dog.
Yeah, that dog looks terrified. He can't even see what's going on, and he just wants to get out of there.
Yeah, well, I may have to bleep this one out, but we'll see. Or it's adopted by a local Chinese restaurant. They go there. They were not available for comment. Oh no. I've heard that happens here.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. There was there's one on Federal in Kentucky.
Yeah. That's why I'm not taking that one out. Cause that one's, that's true. In Colorado and Denver specifically, that happened.
Chase and I came to, We discovered how to beat racism.
Okay.
You know, there's no stereotypes. It's all stereo facts.
Oh.
You know, it's not, you know, I'm not saying anything negative. I'm just saying something that's stereo factual.
Stereo factual.
And it's like, that's the workaround, dude.
Can't argue with fact.
No, you can't. You can't, horrible. Dude. That's proof funny. Is in the pudding.
That's funny.
But there was one on Federal in Kentucky where they literally, there's a picture of one of the restaurant workers throwing out what looks oddly like a cat. It doesn't look like any animal that should be in a Chinese restaurant.
Like a skinned cat?
Yeah, it looked terrible.
Oh, no.
And, so that was brutal because I know I've eaten at that place before.
Oh, God.
And there was also this kid, I don't really think I should say his name because it is kind of unique, but I will say his nickname was Queef.
Nice.
Just because his real name was pretty close to that.
Sure.
But he admitted to his dad cooking a dog at home. And it was just the craziest thing to hear. Yeah. Like, it was just the craziest thing to hear in seventh grade.
Insanity.
The poor kid never lived it down as long as I knew him.
And he like admitted to eating it?
Yeah. And his name was Queef.
So they... did he say it was good?
I couldn't remember.
Okay.
I couldn't remember.
I am curious. I'm not going to try it myself, but...
I mean, there's a chance you already have.
I mean, there's a chance.
Yeah.
There's a chance.
Even McDonald's meat is like questionable
at best.
So I'm not putting it past anybody.
There were some reports that McDonald's, I mean, my friend Isaac, shout out Isaac, he has a theory that McDonald's meat is human. And
Chase has the same theory.
His proof for it is that he really like hasn't like really intense dreams. Isaac does, and he told me about this one that he had one time after he ate McDonald's, and he said he had a dream about pig people. Just what like the fuck? Like a very intense, vivid dream. Like everything was normal except for everybody was a pig person. Oh. And it was just, and he said, I woke up going like, I think McDonald's is human. And I was just like, that's insane, dude.
Well, isn't it so, only like 13% real meat anyway?
I mean, I don't know what it is, but it's not good. I don't eat there anymore, dude. I'll get the coffee every now and then. I'll get a dollar soda from them, but I'm not getting your fucking burgers.
Yeah.
Instead, I hit up the BK Lounge.
I do like
not much better. But
I do like some Burger King.
I doubt it's any better, but
dude, the fries better. Used to be so good. Now they're just cardboard.
Which ones?
Burger King.
Oh, yeah. I mean, every place's fries are cardboard.
You know what I'll always be horny for?
What's that?
Some motherfucking Wendy's. Or Good Times.
A Good Times is good. I'm always a slut for In-N-Out, but...
No.
Yeah, man. I love it. Dude, I love it. It might be... I love it so much. I don't give a fuck. I love it so much.
I was let down so hard, because, like I said, the double cheeseburger, and yes, I got an animal style, because that's what everybody... After I say it's shit, everybody's like, "What did you get an animal style?"
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
The fries are bad.
What did you not like about it? The fries are bad. I don't get those.
So, I don't think it was terrible like that. It's just all my life I had always heard, "Oh yeah, In-N-Out this." Oh, me and my family went to California, we got In-N-Out.
Well, it is better in California, just so you know. That's a fact. That's a fact.
Maybe.
They give the best ingredients out to the people in California.
Ah, that's fucked.
Yep.
But anyway,
and also, by the way, 90% of the country's food comes from California.
Really?
Yeah. It's something like that. Some crazy number.
That's insane.
Yeah. It's because they got the fucking Central Valley that's like all the farms.
Yeah.
It's huge, yeah, too. The state's enormous.
Yeah, but I think there was just so much hype around it that when I finally got to try it, I was like, this is nothing
special. It's a regular burger, dude.
Yeah.
It's a good burger, but it's for a fast food burger. It's a good burger for a fast food burger. It is not the world's best burger.
I recently had Whataburger for the first time.
I hate Whataburger.
No
way. It's trash,
way.
Dude. It's trash. Dude, you're absolute on trash. Drugs. I mean, look, if you get anything, like, look. The appeal of Whataburger, there are two appeals of Whataburger. Number
spice
one, they have more. I'll add that. Number three. Damn it, I hate that. We're being right next to the hospital sometimes.
Yeah.
The appeal of. I'll let that just pass and cut it. God damn. Someone better be fucking dying. Anyway. The appeal of Whataburger, there are three. And that is that, number one, they're open 24 hours. Most of them are open 24 hours. At least in Texas, they were. Number two, they have a large menu. They have a shitload of stuff.
Yeah,
you can get just about anything from there.
Yeah.
Number three, the spicy ketchup. If you are going based on the burger that you're getting there.
It's a good burger.
It is not a good burger. It's a good burger. It is a trash burger. It's not a good burger, dude. It's not a good burger.
I thought it was good.
I hated it. I've had it several times because I lived in Texas for 4 years, and I hated it every time. I never was able to finish a full Whataburger. Not because of, like, it doesn't, like, not because I, like, couldn't feel, like, if like get the food in. It was because it was like, this is just not good.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
Dude, I've had it twice. So, first time was I went to a festival down in the Springs, and I was like, oh, shit, Whataburger. That sounds nice. So I tried it, just got a regular burger, and felt bad because I was like, damn, why didn't I get, like, one of their specialty things or whatever? And so, yeah, me and my son took a little road trip down to the Springs, took him to a nice little park down there.
Nice.
And grabbed Whataburger again. I got one of their little patty melts or whatever.
The patty melt is fire. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. I say Whataburger's trash based on the burger.
I still think it's a good burger.
I just don't agree.
Ah, that's.
But the
that's
the patty melt is fire.
Yeah.
The patty melt is fire. I'll give you that. Yeah. And so are the chicken, all that and stuff. That's
I'm
all
a good. Dirty girl for some Whataburger these days.
Yeah, I'll drive 15 minutes or whatever it is to go to the nearest In-N-Out, but it's only because I get every time I go there, I get the same thing. That's been the same way since I was maybe 6 years old.
Really?
I get a double-double with spread and grilled onions only and a large Dr. Pepper. That's it. It's like less than $10 I can get. I just fucking, it fills me up just enough, and it's like, it's not to the point where it's like, oh, now I'm sick.
Yeah.
And I used to, when I was living in California the last time that I was living there, I guess like when I was like 22, after I got out of rehab in Austin the first time.
Yeah.
I went home and I was already like, so when I was drinking, I was probably maybe 140 pounds.
Yeah.
Because I just wasn't eating.
Right.
But then I like, or when I first, when I guess I should say, when I was living in San Francisco, I wasn't like eating like crazy because I just, I was drinking and fucking doing meth a lot and just like, yeah, it's just what I wasn't eating.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I was like fat in the stomach because of like the beer gut. But I just hadn't, I was, yeah, sucked. Yeah. But then I went and got sober in Texas and then was sober for 4 months and got like the beginnings of getting fat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went home to California and just started drinking beer like crazy again. Because I was like, it was just the drugs that were the problem. Like, I'll just drink beer. And so I was just drinking beer like crazy and like craft beer, like the
drinking and eating.
Well, and I was eating probably I would go through the In-N-Out drive-thru and I would get a burger and a Dr. Pepper. And then I would go sit in my car and I would write for like 3 hours.
Mm.
Or, you know, a total of 3 hours. And about halfway through that I would go back through the drive-thru and get another burger and sit there and just eat and write for the rest of the time.
Jeez.
It was actually like, as far as things go, like I obviously would have gotten fat as hell had I kept that up.
Yeah.
But like I'm glad I didn't. But I got a lot of writing done.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. But when I got back to Texas, I was 220 pounds.
Holy shit!
Yeah, and then like after I got stabbed was kind of like the breaking point of like I started losing shit.
Yeah,
losing weight and like yeah. Now I'm back to like 150.
Well, damn.
Yeah,
that's a lot of. It's a lot of weight to lose.
Yeah, I mean, I've gained and lost 50, at least 50 pounds like 4 or 5 times a month.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I just recently hit below 240 for the first time since since my son's been born. But I'm coming from 310 pounds and now being 239.
Hell yeah, dude. Good for you. Hold on, wait. We'll give you one of these.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, dude, and you want to know what my biggest influence on that was?
What's that?
I was trying to get bad bitches.
Well, there you go. That'll help.
Dude,
you can't get bad bitches if you're fat unless you're famous.
Yeah, yeah.
And even then, I wonder if they're just paid.
Gotta be.
I
mean, Ralphie May's wife, she's gorgeous.
She was gorgeous. As in, like, she's not his wife anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Rest in peace, Ralphie May.
Yeah, rest in peace. That's legend.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, and like for me, I used to be like 170, 180 pounds.
Right.
And dude, I was getting so many bitches.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I was a fucking Mac. And, dude, and started gaining a bunch of weight. After my son was born, me and his mom split, drinking a bunch.
That happened to me too.
And
that was the second time I gained 50 pounds.
Yeah, it's tough. And so, like,
yeah.
I'm drinking, eating fucking Pizza Hut every night.
Well, eating whatever she wants, really. And it's always something.
This was like, when we split up. Me.
Well, like, I mean, when the pregnancy was for me, it was eating whatever she wanted, and it was always some fucking crazy thing.
Oh, I know. My son's mom wanted Olive Garden 2 to 3 times a week.
Yes.
And you know why?
Dude.
For the free fucking breadsticks and salad.
Well, I mean, that's reasonable.
But I'd still have to spend 40, 50 bucks on our dinner.
She would only eat the breadsticks and...
Well, she would eventually eat whatever pasta or fucking chicken masala bullshit.
I don't really want... I mean, was about to say Olive Garden sounds really fire right now, but what I really mean by that is Italian food sounds really fire right now and not Olive Garden. But like,
I really like Gallo's.
Gallo's is great. There's not a place. Paid there's a place just down here. Like, well, honestly, they're not a paid sponsorship. But shout out Gallo and Brian, yeah, the owner of Gallo, because they gave us some. I think I've mentioned this on here, but before, but they gave us 50% off of a tab for the film.
Oh, nice.
One of the nights we ordered from them, like the final night, I ordered like a shitload of food from Gallo. It was, I think the ticket was $250 after that. After like, I got like four pizzas and like, you know, bread, you know, fucking bruschetta. Yeah, oh, I got bruschetta and like fucking desserts and I got a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
And like the ticket was $250 and, I got it for $125 or like, I got it for $150 cause I tipped him like $25 obviously, yeah. But it's like, it was like, oh shit. Yeah. Cuz like when that all happened, like when we were getting the,
that's some shit you don't forget.
Well, yeah, and I told him like, yeah, when we have the premiere we're inviting you and like all that, you know, mm-hmm. Absolutely, like I've been keeping him in the loop at least a little bit. I've been keeping nobody in the loop really, right. In terms of like, I've kept him in the loop as much as I've kept anybody else in the loop,
right.
Because it's one of those things right now where it's like, it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get done. But it's also like,
it's a process.
It's a long process. And people are like, so many people have asked me like, are you done with it yet? And I'm like, dude, not even fucking, like, this is so much work. Like I have to make a fucking, it's only going to be like 15 to 20 minutes, but like the rough cut itself is 45 minutes. And I have to then piece. So I have 45 minutes of a clip that I am going to use.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to now piece all of the fucking sound bites that we're going to use into those exactly as they are, so that the mouth goes at the same time that it says at. And it's like, and like that's easy enough on the fucking Premiere Pro shit, because you can like zoom in really tight on it and be like, okay, like it's this thing and you just move it over. But it's like, it's still fucking like, it, what do you think I'm going to be done in a month? I mean, really, like really a month, because yeah, I took a whole like month shit. Off because yeah. I went to fucking
I was gone for a while. You went chasing Billy for a minute.
Yeah, and then also we did like a bunch of other shit that month too. There was like a week that I was home that whole month.
Yeah.
And like, and I was fine with that because that was right after we finished filming, and I was just like, fuck this, yeah. We're going out, we're leaving. Just like went out in the middle of nowhere.
Fuck yeah.
It was great.
Dude, I need an escape. I was supposed to go down to some small town with Matt this weekend, but stars just didn't align.
Damn.
It was supposed to be like a music festival.
What town?
Moffitt.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn! That would have been fun, man. Town. That would have been fun. Moffitt, Texas. He has a place out there, I think.
No. It's in Colorado.
Moffitt, Colorado.
Yeah.
There's a Moffitt, Texas too.
This one's like smaller than shit. It's like,
I think there's a Moffitt, Texas. Maybe Marfa. I'm thinking of Marfa.
There's also a Denver, Texas.
There is a Denver, Texas. Yes.
Fucking posers.
I'm thinking of Marfa, Moffitt, Colorado.
Yeah, it's...
Hold on, I'm going to look this up.
Pueblo area, something like that.
Moffitt, Colorado. That's not too far, actually. Moffitt.
3 hours.
It's Pueblo's? It's...
Oh, it's way past Pueblo.
Though. Okay.
Pueblo's like 2 hours? An hour and a half?
I'm going to look this up. I'm going to look it up from the music festival perspective. Eden Festival. Is that what it was called?
I don't know. I don't think so.
This is like a smaller,
it's more private. It's honestly, I hate to make the comparison because there's nothing quite like it, but like a much smaller Burning Man.
Wow. Well, it must be private because there is no.
It's by the Woodlands,
Well, I mean, I'm looking up the music festival, and there's, like, it's not showing anything.
Let's see. I just know that there's supposed to be a bunch of DJs there, and, There's, like, I looked at all the comments on Instagram and shit. So many baddies going.
There you go.
Oh, man. But, yeah. Stars in the line. We were going to rent an RV and shit.
It's not Anderson Farms Fall Festival, is it?
No, I don't think so. not getting any service in here, but
yeah, it's the service is not great in here. I got Wi-Fi if you want it, but
sure, we'll go with that.
Let me know when you're ready for the password.
You gonna cut that out?
Yeah, just press pause.
What's
yes, all right, we are back. The Wi-Fi password has been given. Yeah, I'm looking at Anderson Farms Music Festival in Erie, Colorado, and that's the only thing I can find.
Yeah, no, it's the Hoppers and House Cats are like the main people, but it's supposed to be like 24 hours music.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, dude, you remember that stripper chick that I fucking met at the bar?
No.
Were you not there for that?
Stripper chick met at the bar.
Oh, no, that was Mark I was talking to. But yeah, there's like this stripper chick that she's really cool. She's in town from West Virginia. She's like traveling, trying to see where she wants to live.
Oh, jeez.
But the thing is, I think she like grew up in like a very strict house.
Okay.
And like very religious or something.
Yeah.
Because her dad is like paying for her to like go do all this stuff.
Oh.
But she's also a stripper. Just.
She's not telling.
Because it's. She thinks it's fun.
That's.
And it's like, you don't even have to do that.
This chick's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
This chick's a problem.
Yeah. I knew she was crazy because I was sitting on the couch and then she just walks right up to me and is like, can I sit with you? And I was like, yeah, sure.
Where was this?
It was at TK.
Oh.
And.
Stripper chick. Hold on.
Her name's Lauren.
Okay. I can leave that and take that in or out if you want.
Lauren. I don't know anything about else about this girl. So
I don't remember. I mean, I also don't pay attention to girls at that place, but
yeah,
I have a girlfriend that I met at that place. So
I think I'm aware.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no. We just started talking, and I got her number, and
nice.
Yeah, I didn't realize she didn't tell me she was a stripper until like. The very end.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so, yeah, she's in town.
How'd she drop you that information?
Basically, what did she say? She said... Oh, she said that she works at the strip club down the street. Pretty sure she's talking about PTs. But it didn't register to me because, like, she didn't really seem like the stripper type. And,
okay.
At the end, I was like, so are you a dancer or, like, bottle service or
what? Right, what do you do?
She was like, I dance. Oh. And then I told Matt about it, and he was like, dude, you need to invite her to all the shit that I send you in the next week because she's only in town until the 28th.
Oh, yeah.
And
you got to go do that.
Yeah.
So what are you gonna do now that she's not that you can't go do that?
I don't know. Probably just find something in the mountains and bang her out in an Airbnb.
That's a good idea. That's a pretty good idea.
I mean, I just need to get out of the city.
That's a great idea to get out of the city. Yeah. It's
get some scoo-scoo.
Yeah. I spent a weekend up once in where was that? It was up past Fairplay and like literally like get to Fairplay and then take a fucking like left and just go into the mountains type thing and just go up a dirt road.
Breckenridge.
No. Fairplay is up 285. That's on 70. I don't exactly remember. I think the town was technically Fairplay, but it was just out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
And
dude, I love getting away from the city.
Dude, I actually, Madge and I were, I think Madge and I might be getting out of the city for a weekend in like 3 weeks. That'll be nice. We're going back to Montrose, and it's my dad's birthday. And also, we both were talking about it. We're like, we should just get the fuck out of here. And I was like, basically, my parents are so fucking busy that I have to like be like, do you have time in any, when is the next weekend you guys have available for us to come down?
What do they do?
And they, well, they do, essentially, my mom owns her own like editing firm, essentially. It's not like, you know, it's just her, but it's, she does editing.
That's cool.
Editing for like Christian novels and stuff. Oh, or Christian, cool. You know, self-help stuff like that too.
Nice.
And then my dad works for Yes Bank.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
But they both, I mean, they're at this point, they're basically what they call pre-retired.
Yeah.
They're like, you know.
They're like checked out from their jobs. Well,
especially, not quite. I mean, a little bit. I think my mom's not, but my dad is definitely like getting fed up with the way that the politics of the bank work.
Oh, I could only imagine.
He only worked with those people because to fucking put a fucking food on the table type shit, yeah. And like put money in the bank, and it's like in his pocket, you know. And then it's just like, dude. But I respect it. I obviously like, I hate banks and I hate like the way that the systems work nowadays. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it, hey, if like that's what puts food on the table, you got to do it somehow.
No, for sure.
And but no, they. Both, they just fucking, especially with the way technology is nowadays, they can fucking just work on their phone or work on their computers from wherever. They bought a fucking Airstream a few years ago and just like take it into the mountains and play and, you know, camp at a boondock site for 2 weeks and just like, you know, they have like Starlink and shit, and it's just like you can just you know, set up and fucking work from there. And it sounds great. It sounds like my dream life.
Yeah.
But it's like,
I would kill for a work from home job, dude.
Literally, dude.
Like, for some reason, my company needs us in office, even though we don't have any plant in Colorado. So, my job, our services are all East Coast and some Los Angeles and like little bits and pieces of Arizona.
Yeah, so
but
you work for XYZ company.
XYZ company, and we don't have any plant, but they're like, we're field operations, so you need to be in office because the field technicians are out there in the field. They're not working from home. I'm like, what am I going to do for this guy in North Carolina all the way here in Denver?
Right. What are you going to do for that guy? How do you...
Like, I don't know how you want me to help, sir.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it sucks because I work pretty far from my house. It's right. Probably about 30 minutes. But when I did work from home for like 6 months, dude, it was while I was drinking, but it was so nice. Like, I would go to the bars and just like work from there. Huh?
During COVID?
It was a little after.
Okay.
I like left my company for a little bit and got a work from home job and then went back afterwards.
Sure.
Because the other company I went to fucking sucks.
Well, there you go.
And
XYX company.
XYX company.
Yeah.
Fucking sucks. And yeah, dude, it was just so nice. And like I was able to spend more time like with my son and shit. And like,
that's the best.
Working by the pool and shit. I mean, there's no rule against doing that. I was working.
Dude, you literally just had to be working.
Yeah.
But and like, it was like, during all that time, like, I went back to school. Because, mm-hmm. like, I was working. When COVID hit, I was a valet. It was just like, I was just like doing a transitionary job.
Yeah.
Because I was like, basically, I had worked sales, and then I was like, okay, I just need to have something to be able to fucking pay rent.
Yeah.
And so I just went back and got like a valet job. And then like I was there 5 weeks, world went to shit, found out you need to be there 6 weeks to get unemployment. Didn't have a goddamn dime the year of 2020 from any of the help that, I mean, I got the $1,200 that everybody got or whatever it was, but like I didn't have, beyond that, I did not have anything.
Dude, the unemployment.
Yeah. But until
paid so much.
Yeah, I eventually got it all at once.
Oh, that's cool.
I eventually got it all at once, that's which cool. was fucking not good for me. I was a drug addict, and I spent most of it. Oh, my God,
yeah.
I spent most of it.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I had the wherewithal to send quite a bit of it to my parents before that, and just like, hey, hold this for me while I'm doing this, and just like, I had the wherewithal to do that, but it was like...
See, my...
Yeah.
My son's mom was pregnant during COVID. She got pregnant, like, September of 2019.
Oh, brutal, dude. So literally, like, you had a kid, like...
Yeah, we didn't... It wasn't like she got pregnant after COVID.
July?
No, he was born in May.
Bro.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Oh, my God, it gets worse.
You're like, oh, great.
Well, so it's just me and her allowed in the hospital.
Right.
And fucking... You know, I'm a first-time dad. I had just turned 20 at this point.
Yeah.
She's 19 and fucking... I'm trying to, like, be calm for her.
Yeah, I remember that,
it's like, I'm just trying to, like, make sure she's good. But inside, I'm fucking freaking the fuck out. And just trying not to show it. So, like, she's cool.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, that was so terrible. And I just felt so bad. Because, like, I brought my son into the world at such a bad time. But
yeah. I mean, honestly, as far as it goes... In the sense of, like, what could have been.
Yeah.
I feel the exact same way about my kid. But my kid was 5 when all that happened. Mm-hmm. And, like, so, I mean, I always think about, like, man, he probably doesn't know how to, like, read lips and all that. Like, he probably, like, has a whole, like, I always think, like, and he lived in California. And it was just, like, I always think shit like that.
Yeah.
But I would imagine at least your boy probably didn't have to wear the mask because I don't think they made babies wear the mask.
No, he was an infant.
Yeah.
But what brought me to that was I got fired from my job because I posted you remember how you had to have those travel papers like from your job because people were worried if they weren't an essential worker they were going to get pulled over. So like
what?
Jobs were
I was living in Texas. I didn't have to deal with that.
Well, a lot of jobs were giving out these travel permits or whatever. And it basically says like, yeah, I work for this company. I work from these hours. And I made a joke and I posted it on Marketplace. And it was like, I'm selling freedom. I was like, $25 and I'll make you a copy for you non-essential motherfuckers.
That's hilarious.
And somebody reported me.
That's the best, dude. That's so funny.
I got fired. Someone's an asshole, dude. And, it was...
That's hilarious, dude.
Yeah.
That sucks, but that is very funny.
Still got unemployment from it.
Hey, there you go.
And, and, dude, they were giving you so much bread.
Yeah, it was like, nice.
I think I was making... Because they gave you an extra $600 a week.
Yeah, something like that.
And
well, I mean, I got it all at once, and it was like, bro, what?
So
I literally got one day, just like got like fucking. Yeah. It's just like what? And my bank account went from zero to like a lot of zeros. I was like, dude, what is going on?
Yeah, yeah. I was bringing home $4,000 a month.
That's
and
great.
My son, dude, I know
from unemployment.
Yeah,
that's
and my
insane.
Son's mom was making or bringing home like. Maybe just under $3,000.
Right.
And we were staying at my grandparents in their basement.
Oh, boy. So just saving all
So we were
all
just saving all the bread. And I got just... to spend a bunch of time with her while she was pregnant. And
good.
I couldn't even go to the doctor's appointments with her.
No, yeah.
And, yeah, so.
That was such a fucked time, dude.
Yeah.
It was absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I got a question for you here then because I just saw this one that has a similar where we just were.
Mm-hmm.
What does freedom mean to you?
I get wow, that's a good one.
Hmm.
I guess how am I going to describe this without using?
You want me to give an example of like what I think it is and it may help you?
Let's hear it.
I think freedom is the like or and it also like coincides with liberty is the ability to and this is the way I believe this country should be, is the ability to live in the way that you choose to, as long as you don't yeah. so affect somebody else's life in a, you know, negative way, yeah. per se.
I think freedom from, like, a POV perspective is, like, peace of mind.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't know, just that is so freeing in and of itself.
That's a good way of putting it. That actually answers the question better than I had it. And now I'm thinking to myself, that was a dumb answer. That wasn't the way. Not yours, mine. But yeah, peace of mind is a. So, that is definitely a way to describe freedom, peace of mind, because it's definitely if you're not worrying about the problems of the. And so I think that, like, within that sense, like, that's exactly why I don't use, like, I use social media, mm-hmm. but I try my best to stay off it. I try my best yeah. to have just really only, like, if I can handle it, like, good things on there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I can make it happen that way, like, I like to just have, like, good things on there.
Yeah.
Because I just, like, peace of mind. Even if you are... you know, happy, you've got all the money in the world, you got kids, you got what, you know, you got a dog, everything's fine in your life, but you spend all your time looking at social media, which is all the problems of the world, and you're always on Twitter, and you're just scrolling through, and you're seeing death and destruction and rape and pillage, and it's just like, you know, like, then, like, that's not peace of mind. When I was doing all that stuff, I would always feel like, fuck, my life, I feel like heavy. Like, I feel like my chest is heavy from all the things I'm, like, you know, I'm taking on the whole weight of the world and all the problems of it. And that's not peace of mind. So I think that kind of goes into, like, the use of all this technology, which I think we were talking about a little bit before we pressed record today, was, like, it's kind of enslaving.
Yeah.
It is, like, absolutely. It's
not even optional anymore. You have to, like...
Well, yeah. It's almost not optional. It's almost like, I mean, you do still have the option to, you know, kind of cut ties like most ways, but you can't, like, I mean, most places require you to have at least some
I mean, sort shit, of technology. There's plenty of restaurants you go to, they don't even have a menu, they're like, scan the QR code.
Yeah, and then it goes to your computer and you do all that and just, bro, sucks. And like, you know, if my career that I'm jumping into is like it's all technology.
Yeah.
I have to fucking keep up with this.
Yeah.
And it sucks. And it's like the farthest I will go is right underneath and putting it in my head.
Yeah.
I'll go right underneath that if I have to. But at the same time, to kind of preview the next episode I'll be recording it's titled essentially Digital Reversion. And it's all about a trend of younger people kind of trying to cut ties with technology as best they can.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's, I mean, based on these stats that I found and like also like a couple different articles I read where it was like, it seems like there is a wave of people kind of just going like, yo, this is too much.
Yeah.
You know? And like, yeah. And, you know.
Yeah, definitely. It would be really nice to, I don't know. I mean, how much technology is too much technology? I mean, why do we need all this?
I think the amount of technology is too much technology when it becomes, well, exactly right now, where it becomes completely necessary to live with it.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably when it becomes like, I mean, at the same time, like, you could say that about technology that is not, like, this type of technology. Because, like, the automobile, even going back to, like, the early 1900s, like, now, I mean, you could not live now in a lot of places without an automobile.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't, so it's like, but is that too much? I mean, maybe. It might be because of, you know, all the shit that causes problems of. Anything from pollution of the cities and skies of the around cities and places that because of all the smog, anything from that to car accidents to fucking traffic, even. I fucking hate sitting in traffic, dude.
Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah.
It is the worst. Yeah.
And, you know, it's...
And I'm from here, so I remember back when there was open highways.
Yeah, it's
and,
not like
it
that
didn't
anymore.
Take forever. Like,
I'm not from here, but I definitely grew up coming here because I have a bunch of family here.
Yeah.
And I remember that too. Like, I remember being like, oh, it's like easy to drive here. And then like I remember like probably, well, right before I moved here, I was talking to my dad. I was like, yeah, I think it's like pretty easy to drive there. He said, no. Said, no, it's not. Not anymore. Like, it was when you were a kid, but it's not anymore.
Yeah.
Just like, damn, that sucks, man.
Really?
Yeah, we're about an hour, almost about an hour and a half. You want to wrap it up, or you got more you're going to keep talking about?
We could close it out.
I got one question for you to close it out with.
What up?
So I guess it's two, and we'll probably take us a second here, but where do you see yourself in 5 years?
That's a good question. Hopefully a few steps ahead of where I'm at now. Probably in a better position at work and homeowner. No more babies.
There you go.
No more babies.
Yeah.
And a little bulldog.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice, man. What are you working on right now that excites you the most?
My new album.
Hell yeah. Which we didn't even get into the music stuff. Like, I had a whole section here about music, and we'll do another one sometime. We'll talk about that. But I literally have like probably 7 or 8 questions here about music in general.
Yeah.
We didn't even get into that. We could keep going, but I mean, it's fine. We'll get it. We'll do another episode about just music. Your new album.
My new album. Yeah. So I'm working on, it's going to be called 10,000 Hours.
Hell yeah.
It's a rap album. Gonna have probably about 12 different songs on it. Really excited. You can check out some snippets that are gonna be on the album on my Instagram.
Nice.
It's gonna be Money Making No G _ Zay, Z-A-E.
Cool.
So if you want to check those out.
Right on. And then the last question I'm gonna ask you. Aside from people or animals, if your house is on fire and you can only grab one thing, what are you grabbing?
Ooh. My gun.
Yeah?
Yeah. I would like to grab all of them, but...
Yeah.
Probably just the one.
That's a pretty good thing to grab.
Yeah. I mean, aside from people and animals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's a good thing to grab. It depends on the situation. Because if it's like my house is on fire because like there's crazy shit going on in the street, then yeah, same thing. But like if it's like, oh yeah, this is an individual thing. My house is on fire. I got to get out of here. Yeah. Dog's out already. People are out already. I have one piece of art that I would grab, and I'll show it to you later. It's a good one, but it's just so funny to me, and it's like it's a picture of me, and that someone painted, I'll show it to you later. But it's the one thing I would grab if my house was on fire and everything else was taken care of and out. Yeah. I don't really like. I own a bunch of random bullshit, but like none of it's really all that important to me.
Yeah.
And like pretty much anything that is like a super valuable thing that could get destroyed can be replaced really easily.
Yeah.
But that one thing cannot be replaced.
No, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. A piece of art.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's get out of here on this. Everybody that enjoyed this episode, please please send us in some questions for or topics of discussion. We are going to be doing a bunch of different stuff over the next couple of weeks in terms of having different people on for guests.
Yeah.
Also, I will be doing like a regular solo episode every week. So we'll be having at least two episodes a week coming up, which is going to be good. If you want more information about that, you can follow the newsletter, which also is going to be morphing into a magazine. We're kind of figuring out with our parent company, Crucible Media, that I also own, we are going to be forming a magazine underneath that name, Crucible Magazine. And it is, if you're interested in that, please follow at Crucible Media _ and let us know. And but if you have any questions, comments, concerns, send it over to malfunctionjunctionpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to follow the Instagram, it's malfunctionjunctionpodcast. And I think that's pretty much it. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And have a great rest of your day. Thank you, Zach.
Take it easy.
Yeah.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.